book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. And you may be seated. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, your word has been read, Lord God, and your word now to be proclaimed. Lord God, we ask you to be with us, Father, Lord Jesus. Thoughts of our minds, Lord God, the meditation of our hearts, the words of my lips, that each of these and all of these may be pleasant, Lord God, accepting in your sight. In your son's holy name, amen. Okay, we are in, you know, it's hard to believe, time going by, third week of Advent. And we're talking about the Christmas story, you know, according to Matthew. And I know last week, you know, we spent most of the day in Luke because we were focusing on Mary last week. But today we focus on Joseph. So we turn back to Matthew, you know, as we tell the story of Joseph and Mary and the birth of the Christ child. Now, Matthew's focus is more on Joseph than Mary. Now, Joseph is also known as Saint Joseph. You know, he is called the patron saint of the church universal. And I said, you know, Matthew puts his attention mainly on Joseph until the Christ child is born. You know, in Luke we learn what Mary was thinking, what she said, and what she did. You know, and Luke tells us hardly anything. Luke, you know, Joseph really don't have any speaking parts at all, you know, in Luke. But Matthew does. What Luke did with Mary, Matthew does with Joseph. Tells us, you know, what Joseph was thinking, what Joseph said, you know, and what Joseph did. Matthew and Luke imply that Joseph was from Bethlehem. Bethlehem is about a 9-day walk from the town of Nazareth. So Joseph and Mary get married, and they will live in Nazareth, and they will raise their child, Jesus, in Nazareth. Joseph is from the lineage of David, and Joseph is often spoke of as being a carpenter. Now, that can be a little misleading because the word used for carpenter, you know, it describes, you know, he could have built tables, chairs, doors, you know, furniture. He could have made, you know, yokes for oxen, you know, any and all of those things, you know, and supposedly there are still, you know, some oxen yokes floating around out there somewhere that Jesus made, you know, that Jesus would have followed him, you know, in this trade. Now, you know, and I ran across that, you know, you take it for what it's worth. I saw that online, you know, and you know, everything you read online is true. You know, Joseph and Mary are engaged. You know, and in that day, that meant that the groom's family, so Joseph's family, would have paid, you know, a lump sum of money, you know, to Mary's family. And that would have been called the bride price. You know, money given in the event that the husband dies or he divorces his wife. You know, that the groom's parents are purchasing the bride for him. You know, and in some places, you know, this is still done today. The groom would also give an expensive gift to his future wife, you know. And there was also a marriage contract made out and signed by the future husband. You know, of all the things he's going to do for her, how he will provide for her, you know, promises he would make to her. Now, this is still done today in some Jewish families, except today it is a contract by the woman and the husband that they make to each other, and they each sign it of what they're going to do for each other. So Joseph and Mary are engaged, and all these things have been done and taken place. The bride price paid. Joseph gives, you know, this gift to Mary. You know, he made out this contract. You know, it's been made out and signed. You know, then what happens? He finds out she's pregnant. Now, right after Mary gets pregnant, she leaves Nazareth and she makes that 9-day journey by foot, you know, to see her cousin Elizabeth. You know, and supposedly she stays with Elizabeth for about 3 months. You know, and it's believed during this time that Joseph is not far from her, that he is in Bethlehem. And I'm guessing that it's during this time that Mary is with her cousin that Joseph finds out about Mary's pregnancy. Okay, going back to Matthew, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So all these things, you know, the normal things have taken place, you know, and Mary tells Joseph, "Hey, Joe, I'm pregnant." You know, not by another man, but by the Holy Spirit. Now, would you believe that? I mean, not us today, you know, or even today. You know, if somebody comes to you and tells you, "Hey, I'm pregnant," but it's not by man. It's by the Holy Spirit. You know, Scripture kind of implies that, no, Joseph did not believe her. I mean, really, you know, then and even now, you know, other than our story, you know, there's no such thing as a virgin birth. I mean, you know, we're all grown ups, most of us. You know, we know how babies are made. You know, we know how babies come about. You know, so, you know, Mary tells this to Joseph, and probably Mary's cousin Elizabeth tells Joseph, "Hey, you know, what she's saying is true." Now we know, you know, Zechariah, John the Baptist, you know, Elizabeth's husband, you know, Zechariah can't talk right now. He can't talk till after John the Baptist is born. So maybe he writes it out on a letter. "Hey, you know, what they're saying is true." But Joseph still doesn't believe, and he makes the decision to let Mary go quietly. Some scripture says to do it secretly. Okay, Joseph is known as the patron saint of the church universal. But Joseph is also known as the patron saint of doubters. Matthew telling us that this man that will become the patron saint of the whole church, he starts off with doubt. With doubt about his future bride, doubt about his son. You know, and I've talked with people at one time or another that struggle with doubt about one thing or another. You know, and for some people, the virgin birth is a hard thing to believe. You know, but the thing is, you know, and I tell people, you know, if you're curious about something in the scripture, ask God. Come to God and ask him. He'll give you an answer. I mean, Joseph had doubt, but God took care of Joseph's doubt. Okay, now, I just want to put this out there, people. Okay, the first writings we have in the New Testament, the earliest writings we have are Paul's letters. After Paul's letters, you know, we have the first gospel, this Gospel of Mark, and we have the book of Acts. Now, in all of that, You know, a good part of the New Testament, the virgin birth is never mentioned. You know, for me, the virgin birth is an absolute. You have to call yourself, to me, it's the way I'm looking at it. If you think some other way, okay. But for me, to believe in a virgin birth, to call yourself a Christian, is an absolute. You have to. It's a matter of faith and belief and trusting God. I mean, if God, the one that created the universe, if God that created your DNA, why couldn't God take his essence, put it inside a human being, and combine it with human DNA to make Jesus, the baby, fully God, fully human? That is faith. That is trust. That is belief. That is an absolute. To believe in Jesus Christ, fully God, fully human. Now, the thing about it is, at this time, their belief was the human, the baby, formed physically in the woman, physically and growed, you know, and developed inside the woman. Got the physical body from the woman. But that baby got his spirit, got his soul from where? The Father. So where did Jesus Christ get his spirit and get his soul? Not from Joseph. From God, his Father, your Father, my Father. That is where his soul came from. Fully human, fully God, like no other human ever been and never will be again. Fully human, fully God. Like back to Matthew. And her husband Joseph, being a just and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now Joseph, you know, could announce to the world, hey, she's pregnant. I don't want anything to do with her. It's not mine. And all of the shame would have been on Mary and none on him. From the book of Deuteronomy. If there's betrothed virgin, and a man meets her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry for help, though she was in the city, and the man, because he violated his neighbor's wife. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. Now, this may have happened to Mary, it may not have, but the possibility was there that if Joseph brought it out, no, it's not mine. She could have been brought out and stoned to death. But she would have been shamed publicly no matter what. But the way that Scripture has it, Joseph planned to divorce Mary quietly, secretly. Now, all these things, you know, the price, you know, what he gave her, the contract, all these things have been done. So they're basically married. So he plans to divorce her quietly. But the way he's planned on doing it, secretly, quietly, she would have kept all the money and all the shame would have been on Joseph. He would have lost all the money and the shame would have been on him. It's as if Joseph was doing it and saying, okay, I am the father, but I've changed my mind. I don't want anything to do with her. So I'm putting her out. So all the shame would have been on him. Why? Why would he do that for her? Scripture has Joseph was a righteous man, showing mercy to Mary. And I'm sure some of y'all out there, I have seen messy divorces. People go through divorces and it's just, you know, there's nothing friendly about them at all. It's just how much pain and suffering can I cause the other person? how much hurt can I inflict on the other person? Anything to hurt them. But Joseph, the patron saint of people going through divorces, not wanting pain, not wanting revenge, but showing mercy. Remember, Matthew was writing to Jewish Christians that Jesus is your Messiah. Joseph in the Hebrew Bible, his father Jacob, God spoke to Joseph in dreams. And the Jews in that day reading this, they would have recognized this right away. That Joseph makes the decision to divorce her, to let her go quietly. But then he's, well, you know, maybe I need to sleep on it, to think about it. Again, back to Matthew. As he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She shall bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. In Luke, the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, you know, and says, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. And the angel Gabriel tells Joseph the same thing, name him Jesus. So the angel appears to both of them. And what are the first words out of their, you know, out of their mouth or whatever? Fear not. Do not be afraid. One of the most frequent commands we hear in the Bible. The voice of God, the nudging of the Holy Spirit can be scary. Especially when God's asking you to do something or not do something. That Joseph is also the patron saint of dreamers. People listening from God, a word from God, a nudging of the Holy Spirit to lead them, to guide them, to make a decision. That Joseph is asked to raise this child who's not his own. And Joseph knows Jesus is not his own. He's asked to protect this child. He's asked to provide for this child, to mentor this child, to teach this child. And it appears by the time Jesus starts his public ministry, 30 years old, that Joseph has probably died. So many, many years, Joseph has cared for Jesus. He protects him. He provides for him. He teaches him, he mentors him. So Joseph is also the patron saint of people raising someone else's child. A large part, a big part of who Jesus Christ became was due to who Joseph was. And just like those kids that came up today, those kids over in the fellowship hall, the church, God, Jesus calls us to care for kids, that kids are so precious in the sight of God. You know, and I mentioned Pope Francis last week, and I mentioned him again today in a discussion with somebody. You know, he said he keeps a statue of the sleeping Joseph by his bed. Now, not like this one, but it says the sleeping Joseph keeps it by his bed, that when he has to make a decision, he knows if it's not something, he has to have a decision right then and there to not to do it right then and there, to pray about it, to ask God about it, and if he has time, to sleep on it. Now, when I got that, it came with this sleeping Saint Joseph. When you have a problem or difficulty, write a little note and put it under the sleeping St. Joseph statue. Ask God to help you through the intercession of dear St. Joseph. Then put your trust in God. Let God lead you and guide you. You know, one thing about St. Joseph, or Joseph as we know him, he was able to sleep. And I don't think it was due to Somanex, you know, or any sleeping pills or anything like that. Despite everything going on in his life, he was able to sleep. You know, and evidently he slept pretty soundly and good, that he had dreams. And I think that's because Joseph put his trust in who? In God. Put his trust in God and knew that God would lead him and guide him in everything that he had to do. And like Mary, Joseph could have said no. But think of everything he would have missed out on. Raising that child. Raising that Jesus. Now, y'all don't see him, but I have a grandson laying down on the front pew over here. And he knows shouldn't be doing that. He knows he should be sitting up. And, yeah, see, there he sat up. And his younger brother is back in the nursery. You know, we call him our wild child. You know, and I warned him. They said they didn't bring him in here this morning because he's a wild child. And we could have said no, but we didn't. Having kids they get on your nerves. Yeah, especially when you got to change your poopy diapers. But they're such a joy. They keep you going. And the thing about it is, more than kids, God keeps you going. And you're able to sleep at night when you put your faith, your trust, and your belief in Father, Son, Spirit. And you know he will lead you and guide you in everything you do. If you just ask. Now, I want to read this to y'all. Okay. Joseph, you know, is the patron saint of many groups. You know, the one big group is Church Universal. He's the patron saint of fathers. He's a patron saint of workers, carpenters, builders, craftsmen, families, travelers, immigrants, those seeking a happy death. He is a patron saint, you know, of those raising someone else's child. You know, he's a patron saint, like I say, of husbands, you know, patron saint providing, you know, for families. He's a patron saint, protector of the church. You know, all these things. Patron saint of social justice, of immigrants, of travelers. You know, all of these. You know, and I know in the Methodist Church we don't pray to saints. But Joseph, I believe he went to God in prayer. And that's why he could sleep at night. To lead and go with God, and to let him lead you and guide you, and to put your trust, and you'll be able to sleep. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks for this day and every day. Lord God, I pray each and every night, Lord God, we're going to lay our heads down. We'll come to you first, Father, Lord Jesus, before we close our eyes. And put our trust, our faith, and our belief in you, Father, Son, Spirit, that you will lead us and guide us in all we have to do. In your Son's holy name, amen.